Well, hello and welcome to the Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view the details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. I have to say, there was actually so many news stories this week that I've had to cut them down about. So if you actually go along to Stone Pages website, you'll see quite a few extra stories. Anyway, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Africa's oldest ceramics have been unearthed in Mali. Danish students uncover hundreds of Iron Age human remains. The underwater exploration, seeking evidence of early Americans in the Florida area, is continuing. Gristhorpe man from prehistoric Yorkshire slowly gives up his secrets after 175 years. And 15 new prehistoric sites are found in Java. A new theory contends a disease brought down the Neanderthals. And Mesolithic traces are discovered in a new Romanian excavation. Switzerland proposes a new underwater UNESCO lake site, and an ancient supervolcano. The eruption, did it cause severe winters, or was it worse than we thought? And finally, we end with news about the Festival of British Archaeology that's taking place across England and Wales, starting on the 18th of July. Archaeologists from Geneva University have discovered what they claim is America's oldest ceramics, dating from around 9400 BCE in eastern Mali. The tiny, ornate fragments were made with great skill, says ethno-archaeologist Anna Maior in Bamako, the Malian capital. Maior is part of an 8-person Swiss team in the country, comprising 5 scientists from Geneva, 3 from Freiburg, who are working with colleagues from Mali, Germany and France. The find was made in the area of the Dogon people, whose main territory is bisected by the Bandigara Escarpment, a sandstone cliff up to 500 metres high and which stretches for 150 kilometres. Swiss archaeologists have been digging in the area for 20 years now. Currently, they're concentrating on the Onjugu, a location with massive potential for discoveries, according to Maior. The aim of the project is to learn more about the humans and the environment during the Paleolithic period, but the first settlements in the region date from around a million years ago. So anyway, now they've got the pottery, they've got a wee bit to go back to get to that region. There's a sensational find when Aarhus archaeology students uncovered the bones of around 200 bodies dating from the Iron Age. What was supposed to be a simple 3-week-long research exercise for archaeology students has developed into a unique excavation project. Remains of more than 200 bodies have been found at the dig site near Skanderborg in Jutland in Denmark, dating to around 2,000 years ago. The Illerup River Valley was a deep lake about 10 hectares in size during the Iron Age, and archaeology digs have established that it was used as a major sacrificial site during that period. The area, which is a popular location for archaeologists, is now a mixture of bog and meadow, much of which is subject to conservation laws. The student dig began on the 20th of June and almost immediately began in turning up human remains. The majority of the remains are arm and leg bones, skulls, shoulder blades and pelvis. And the 200 victims found so far are just a small fragment of what lies in the area, which has now only been partially excavated. Estimates suggest that the figure could well run into the thousands. The valley was first drained in 1950 and subsequently studied intensively by archaeology teams between 1975 and 1985, when around 15,000 weapons and military objects were discovered. The latest find is unique, as it's unusual to find bones of sacrificial victims without their weapons. The new discovery points to the river valley being used as a major sacrificial site. Last summer's pivotal underwater exploration in the Gulf of Mexico, led by Mercyhurst College archaeologist Dr. James Adivasio, yielded evidence of inundated terrestrial sites that may well have supported human occupation in the Americas more than 12,000 years ago. And this paved the way for another expedition this July. As part of their 2008 findings, the researchers located and mapped buried streams and river channels and identified infilled sinkholes that could potentially help document the late Pleistocene landscape and contain artifacts and associated animal remains from early human occupations. Continued exploration, Adavasio said, will be geared towards assessing a human presence on the now submerged beaches and intersecting river channels. Between July the 23rd and August the 7th, they'll resume their search for evidence of early Americans in an area 100 to 200 miles off Florida's west coast, now 300 feet underwater. The decision to take their expedition underwater in the first place stems from the premise that early Americans probably hugged the American coastline, congregating around freshwater rivers before heading inland. At that time, most of the world's water was confined to glaciers, causing ocean levels to be lower than and exposing more of the continental shelf. As the Earth warmed and water levels rose, evidence of past settlements became submerged. The team will use remotely operated vehicles and remote sensing tools to explore the submerged sites. In shallower depths, divers themselves will inspect sites to try and collect artifacts and animal remains and also to recover sediment for geological analysis and possible radiocarbon testing. Proof of the past human habitation here would reinforce the disintegration of the once prevalent hypothesis about who the first Americans were, how they got there, and when they first arrived. Well, it's all to play for. And I have to say, actually, I'm going to mention the new Time Team America program, which I hope all of you in America are now watching. The fascinating second episode, which at the time of recording this has not yet been seen, but fortunately I've been doing some journalism for Past Horizons magazine, and we got to see an advanced copy of it, and it is fascinating stuff that's coming up for your second episode. So, if you haven't actually had a chance to look at the Time Team America yet, what's stopping you? Get onto your PBS channel, watch it. Anyway, back to us. July the 10th this year marked the 175th anniversary of the discovery of Scarborough's Bronze Age ancestor, Gristhorpe Man. Now residing in the Rotunda Museum in Scarborough, Gristhorpe Man, the tallest prehistoric skeleton measured to date, was found by William Bissick and members of the Scarborough Philosophical Society in 1834. The museum is holding a special event to commemorate the finding of Gristhorpe Man, which is now back in his original resting place following a move to the Department of Archaeological Sciences at Bradford University. Found in a large oak coffin after workmen dug into a tumulus on a burial ground at Gristhorpe Cliffs, the skeleton was found wrapped in a hide cloak. It's regarded as the best example of an oak tree trunk burial in existence. Blackened by a reaction between the iron in the water and the tannin in the bark of the coffin, the bones were placed in a laundry copper and simmered in a thin solution of glue made from horses' bones, before then being air-dried for several days. Now, I have to say, this was done back then and is certainly not conservation practice now. Buried in a large, lavish ceremony, the Gristhorpe Man had some very expensive goods with him in the coffin, including a dagger with a whalebone pommel and copper blade. The horn ring, however, that was found with him and thought to be part of his funeral goods turns out, though, to be a piece of cartilage from his throat. And what was first thought to be a mistletoe berry, it's actually something slightly more unwelcome. Turns out they're kidney stones. Filmmakers will be there in late July and early August and looking at the work that's been carried out on him in Bradford. And while there's been a digital reconstruction of his face, Dr. Alan Ogden has produced a reconstruction that speaks in English, but also in Bronze Age language. I'd like to see that one. The Rotunda Museum is holding the drop-in event on Saturday, August the 1st, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Up to 15 new prehistoric sites have been discovered recently in Purb Aling Ga Regency in central Java. The head of Purb Aling Ga Administration's Media Information Division said that the sites were spread across the upper stream sections of the Laban, Kuning, Klawing and Tongtong Gunung rivers. The administration is currently asking experts in related fields to study the sites, as hundreds of prehistoric stones and artifacts have been found on the 15 sites. Among the findings are the remains of bracelets and axes believed to be from the Neolithic age. Scientists seeking to uncover the mystery of what happened to the Neanderthals should look to the modus operandi of another great die-off 30,000 years later, argues a Danish expert in an article submitted to the Journal of Archaeological Science. In the article, Professor Emeritus Bent Sorensen of the University of Roskilde wrote that disease carried by Homo sapiens migrating out of Africa was responsible for the gradual extinction of our prehistoric cousins in the same way that European illnesses ravaged Native American populations in the 16th century. Modern humans brought illnesses that could survive them, they could survive themselves, but for Neanderthals they were deadly. Sorensen's article challenges the leading theories about why Neanderthals disappeared from Europe some 30,000 years ago. Those theories suggest that the stockier Neanderthals were unable to adapt to a changing climate, or that they were killed off as humans encroached upon their territory. He hopes that efforts currently underway to map the DNA from the remains of a 38,000-year-old Neanderthal found in Croatia can uncover evidence to support his theory. Similar methods, he said, have been used to identify tuberculosis in 5,000-year-old remains discovered in Egypt. Well, I think this one's going to be another one of these that runs and runs. Who killed the Neanderthals? Human traces dating to the early Mesolithic period were recently discovered at the Shela Cladovai archaeological site in southwestern Romania by experts from both the University of Edinburgh and the Bucharest Institute of Archaeology. The finds indicate the beginnings of human sedentary life and the transition from food gathering, fishing and hunting to a primitive civilization, which dates to around 7,100 to 5,500 BCE. There's also the ruins of an artisan centre producing malachite beads, with pieces in both unprocessed and processed stages. The findings from this year's excavations will continue through the beginning of August and also included fired ceramic pottery, oven vessels, arrowheads and several fragments of an altar. The traces have led the archaeologists to believe that the existence of the Shela Cladovai site, located on the left bank of the Danube, spans a period of 4,000 years. The Swiss Federal Office of Culture has unveiled its next dossier bound for a UNESCO Heritage Panel, the underwater ruins of lakeside communities from the Neolithic and Bronze Ages. The sites are known as pile dwellings. Houses in these communities were built on piles or stilts above the water. They can be found under a number of lakes in the countries surrounding the Alps. Well, good luck to them and good luck to their piles. Previous studies have suggested that Indonesia's Toba supervolcano, when it erupted around 74,000 years ago, triggered a 1,000-year episode of ice sheet advance, and also may have produced a short-lived volcanic winter, which drastically reduced the human populations at the time. Previous climate model simulations of the eruption have been unable to produce this glaciation, though, and there's no climate observations to support the volcanic winter. To investigate additional mechanisms that may have enhanced and extended the effects of the Toba eruption, as well as the volcanic winter, a group including Robach and other scientists conducted 6 climate model simulations using state-of-the-art models that include vegetation death, effects of radiation budgets, and stratospheric chemical feedbacks that might have affected the lifetime of the volcanic cloud. The authors used a wide variety of aerosol injection volumes, rating from 33 to 900 times that of the 1991 Mount Pinatubo injection. They find that none of the models initiate glaciation. Nonetheless, they produce a decade of severe volcanic winter, which would have likely had devastating consequences for humanity and global ecosystems, supporting the idea that the Toba eruption actually produced a genetic bottleneck in human evolution. Well, that was fascinating stuff, and in fact, we're dealing with that in the next issue of the Past Horizons magazine, where we're looking at one of the positive benefits of archaeology in studies of climate change. I also hope that you understood the aerosol injection theory there. The Festival of British Archaeology 2009 is an extravaganza of heritage events coordinated by the Council for British Archaeology. Each year, the festival helps museums, local societies, both national and countryside parks, universities and heritage organisations hold hundreds of events showcasing the very best in British archaeology. The festival aims to give everyone the opportunity to learn about their local heritage and to see archaeology in action and to get involved. Events range from excavation open days to behind-the-scenes tours. You also get family fun days and finds identification workshops. These events are taking place all over England and Wales, with also a couple of events in Scotland. To find out what's on, please visit the festival blog for all the latest developments. They've also got a map there. You can find it at festival.britarch.ac.uk/what's on. Or just type in the Festival of British Archaeology into Google. While we're talking about festivals of British archaeology, of course, what's happening in Scotland, I hear you say? Well, Archaeology Scotland is taking you on Archaeology Month in September. Well, we've also got hundreds of events all over the country. You can find out more about that, and believe it or not, you'll be able to actually find me as well as I search for a 13th century chapel, take a few tours through the Romans and Iron Age, and even, perhaps if you're very, very lucky, take you back through the explosive past of Gorebridge. Anyway, you'll be able to find that at www.scottisharchaeologymonth.com. So between it, we have hundreds of events spanning the whole UK. Makes you be glad to be an archaeologist. Also, being glad to be an archaeologist, I have to tell you that we're working furiously just now on the August edition of Past Horizons magazine. So if you haven't seen it yet, you can have a look at the previous magazines at www.pasthorizons.com/magazine and look forward to August when you can see the spanking brand new edition of Past Horizons magazine. We're also working on our shop just now, so watch out for everything Past Horizons. Everything Past Horizons moves to everything archaeology in the UK, and that's changing as well. So get along to www.bajr.org to get a handle on what's happening in British archaeology. More can also be found on Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return to us again next week. It's always a pleasure.